Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Hello and welcome to episode 72 of the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Building up to the hype that is Super Bowl this Sunday. This evening I have with me John. How are you, John?
Evening, Tony. How you doing? I'm a bag of nerves, but I'm doing good other than that.
Yes, that's part of the course. I think the term is nervited. You're supposed to be both nervous and excited at the same time.
Yep, that's accurate, yep.
And we also have with us Andy returning. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Tony. How are you?
Very well indeed. How are you? Are you nervited?
Yep, nervited sounds like a good one for me, yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Do you both have your plans sorted out for Sunday evening, Andy?
Yeah, it's just going to be chill at home with the wife and kids, watch the game and have a few beers and just relax, to be honest.
Excellent. John, your plans?
I'm swamped with plans on Sunday as it's my eldest's birthday, so I'll be like going through birthday celebrations during the day, and then when all the kids are in bed, it'll just be myself. My wife said she's going to watch some of it with me, but usually what happens, it gets to about 10 minutes game and she goes, right, I'm done, and she goes to bed. So I'll probably spend most of the evening myself, but yep, I'm just got my drinks and snacks to sort out. But the following week I've actually got my fake Super Bowl party where the kids will get to watch it. So, fingers crossed, they'll get to watch the actual game this year, unlike last year where I played the replay of the Monday Night Football game against the Chiefs, the shootout in LA. So, hopefully they'll get to see the actual game, let's say that.
So, I mean, will they watch the full 3 hours or will it be the 40 minutes highlights?
That'll be the 40 minutes highlights.
Okay, yeah, that sounds reasonable to me. Excellent. So, right. Sunday evening, 11:30 kickoff, SoFi Stadium, Los Angeles Rams versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, a lot of the media that I'm reading, guys, is having us as the ones to be shot down, and that the Bengals are the plucky underdogs. Is that what you've been reading as well, John?
Yeah, it seems to be that the media are really favouring the Bengals, and I don't know if it's maybe because I think I've seen today that they've had 5 straight losing seasons and it's just like totally flipped this year. And so it's the one of ones like, yeah, they're seen as the plucky underdogs. So they just want to see us get beat because for some bizarre reason, it doesn't matter how good we do or whatever. There's a lot of people that just want to hate on us because we're LA and because they think we're this superstar team.
Yeah, I mean, that's strange, really, because I mean, we had a similar sort of record coming into the Super Bowl in 2018, didn't we? We had that one season where we lost to the Falcons in the wild card round, but then we'd had, 10 losing seasons straight before that. And I don't remember the hype being quite our way going into that, do you, Andy?
Oh, no, the hype definitely wasn't on our side going into that game. But I think, again, it was, you know, that at that point it was the Brady effect. He was still, you know, I think everyone's darling at that point. But it's a difficult one. If anything, I prefer for us to be classed as the underdogs because I think it gives our team a little bit more of a bite. But, you know, you can't write off the Bengals and what they've done this season.
No, they've had a good season. And obviously they deserve to be in the Super Bowl as well. And obviously Joe Burrow's had, you know, 4,600 yards. He seems to be playing really, really well. He seems to be a quarterback to watch and certainly one for the future. What do you think about that matchup between Burrow and Stafford, Andy?
It's going to be an interesting matchup, to be honest. Don't want to be thingy here, but I was sort of quite high on Burrow when he came into the league. Did think he was a very good quarterback. So it's going to be an interesting matchup between the two. But they are two very different players, stylistic. So it'll be interesting to see the battle. But I don't think, to be honest, that's where the battle's going to be. I think it's going to be somewhere else on the field myself.
Okay, we'll park that one for a start. But, John, how do you think the teams match up in general? Nothing specific, but I mean...
Well, there's been a lot of tweets and, posts kicking about trying to actually compare the teams, and a lot, again, going back to what we were saying about the media perception here, a lot of kind of posts and, comments from not fans of either side, more neutrals, that seem to think that the Bengals actually have the stronger roster over us. I think it was only the defensive line and the offensive line they actually gave to us. They said that the Bengals were superior everywhere else, which I disagree with, to be honest with you. Trying to take it as a kind of fair approach, I think if you actually really drill it down, it's probably quite close to being even if you want to take a neutrals kind of perspective on it. Both sides have got a lot of strengths and they've got weaknesses within themselves. However, I do think that we obviously I'm going to say this, but no, my genuine opinion is that I think we are that little bit more stronger in depth than they are. And I think over the last few weeks, I think the team has kind of showed more kind of rally. For me, the Bengals threw up in a playoff run. It was just that game against the Chiefs where they kind of just, they didn't give up when they looked like they were already down, I guess. Sure. But I think the teams are quite evenly matched, but I think we have the edge because a lot of our guys seem to be really coming together and really, they're willing to put everything on the line for each other now. I think out of the two teams, we want this more than they do.
I think you're right there as well. I think this is our time. This is why Matthew Stafford was brought to Los Angeles. This is why we tempted Odell Beckham Jr. into the side. Jalen Ramsey tempted Odell Beckham Jr. into the team. And it does look like a good matchup. And I've got to challenge the media story that the Bengals are the plucky underdogs that have come from nowhere after a losing, however many losing seasons. Over the last two seasons I saw, they've spent $270 million on free agency, as opposed to on 32 players, to be fair, whereas we have spent $36 million on 10 players over the last two off-seasons. And I don't think that makes the Bengals the plucky underdogs. They've been throwing money at free agency to build a team over the last two seasons. And this is where they've got to with a good quarterback like Joe Burrow. What do you think to that, Andy?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's, I suppose, the perks of having your quarterback on a rookie contract is, you can afford to throw that money around. I suppose, to a certain extent, we were like that with, Goff when he was on his, rookie contract. You have that extra cash to be able to throw about. But it's interesting to see just how much they've actually spent compared to us. I think where some people are looking at it as well is we have we don't need our first, second round picks. We're throwing them away. We'll get players, established players in. But at the end of the day, you've still got to pay those players larger, amounts of cash. So I think when you balance the two up, it's not as clean cut as people think it is. I think it is more the fact, as I say, it's after what happened to Burrow last season, people are rooting for that team because of who they are, and this whole we're playing for Harambe and we're playing for this, that and the other, I think it's just pulling the neutrals more towards them.
Yeah, and I'm going to challenge that pay your stars as well, because I saw something else online during the week that five of the Rams' 10 highest paid players were draft picks. And four are free agency signings or trades that are on the second contract with the team. And that 10th player is Matthew Stafford. So this whole narrative about the fact that the Rams have been throwing money at this, obviously you've got to pay your stars, and we don't rate picks, but to have five of your 10 highest paid players as previous draft picks. I mean, obviously there's Aaron Donald in there, and there's Cooper Kupp in there as well. I haven't had time to pick out who the other three are. But, you know, at least when we make good picks, we're willing to actually make them part of the team and pay them when it comes good. Was you aware of that, John?
No, I'd actually, like, when I seen, like, it came out, I don't know if it was today or yesterday or what, but when I seen it and seen the figure that the Bengals had spent on essentially bringing in all these guys, it kind of made me, well, I maybe used quite a few expletives when I seen it, like, just because we are portrayed as this, all like, we're mortgaging off picks for this, we're throwing money to anybody and everybody to bring them in to buy a Super Bowl, when it couldn't be further from the actual truth. And I think it's when you see that there is a team and we're playing against them that really have thrown the cash and splashed the cash to build a roster. I mean, every at the end of the day, every team wants to build the best roster they can to essentially win a Super Bowl. There's no denying it. That's at the start of the season, that's what every single team is setting out to do, is to win the Super Bowl. And every team has to do what they need to do to get that. Now, I'm not criticising the Bengals for spending what they've spent to get the players they've got. They have in the roster, like Andy's saying, like, the benefit of having a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract is you've got money to spend elsewhere. So they've done that. So they're just doing what we've done, but in a totally different way, whereas we are being, to be honest, smart with how we're managing the finances, the draft, the contracts and whatnot to build and move things around to maintain, hopefully, a good core, but to also add, like, quality, as we've done this season, I think, by making moves for the likes of Von Miller and Beckham Jr. and also, obviously, Stafford. So it's one of those ones, like I said, couldn't believe it when I seen it, and I kind of thought every single person who's ever criticised us for what we do as a team and franchise, both on and off the field, really have got a, and if you had the censor button, I would tell you to use it right now, cheek to say anything bad about how the Rams operate.
Yeah, I think a lot of Rams fans are a lot more, I'm generalising here obviously, but a lot more into the business side of how the Rams are being run, because we're trying to establish ourselves as the premier franchise in Los Angeles. And obviously the Lakers and the Dodgers have won championships recently, and we're vying for, not competing with them really, but competing in media terms, obviously. We're competing to be that premier franchise in Los Angeles. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. You know, we've got a brand new stadium to pay for. Mr. Kroenke has paid for it first, but obviously he wants money back on that. He needs to make cash to make the franchise work. And, you know, hosting the Super Bowl is a great fillip for the city. And it's great that we've been able to fight our way, play our way into that game as well. And we have the opportunity to play that Super Bowl on our home turf, even though we are, in theory, the away, designated away team this weekend. But I think there's a lot of story behind the Rams and the way they've tried to build the team because of that Hollywood narrative. But I think one of the things that it is beholden on us to actually discuss is Mr. Andrew Whitworth and that link between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Rams. And I forget how many years he's been with us now, but he's, you know, obviously he's the oldest starting left tackle to play in a postseason game. He's the oldest tackle to start a Super Bowl game, potentially, coming this Sunday, hopefully. But, I mean, to my mind, I hope that the Bengals fans, even in defeat, would acknowledge the part that Andrew Whitworth played for their team as well in the past. Andy?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, personally, I think they will do. He was a loyal servant to them for, I can't remember how many years he was with them, you know, and then they basically, I can't remember if it was they decided not to pay him or he said he wanted to go elsewhere, I'm not too sure. But, you know, he hit free agency and we picked him up and, you know, I think low-key he has probably been our best free agency signing of the last number of years. You know, he's solid for us. You know, even at this age, you know, he still keeps going. He's probably up there, top five, if, you know, certainly top 10 maybe push into top five left tackle still in the league, even at his age. Hopefully, the fans from Cincinnati, even if they do lose, will recognise, you know, the fact that how well he's been for them, and that this would be the perfect, I think, end for his career, is to actually walk away with the Super, you know, with a Super Bowl ring to basically cement his legacy as a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Definitely, yeah. I can't think of a player more deserving on the Rams team at the moment that, you know, truly deserves to get that ring and get that win on Sunday. I mean, obviously we've got players like Matthew Stafford. You know, it'd be fantastic for him for his first season away from the Detroit Lions to pick up the chip. And, you know, Aaron Donald as the best football player in the NFL, he needs to win a Super Bowl, at least one, before he retires. And, you know, for Cooper Kupp to have that triple crown for receivers this season, and just to put that cherry on the top of winning the Super Bowl and really vying for that MVP status, would, you know, it'd be Christmas all over again, wouldn't it, John?
Yeah, absolutely. Just going back to just we're saying about Big What, he was with the Bengals for 10 years. I think we picked him up in McVay's first season. I think he was actually one of McVay's first signings, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think he was.
And I think we previously talked to, you know, that I think it's quite befitting that in what is very likely going to be his last ever game, it is against the only other team he ever played for in the NFL. So I think it's one of those ones that I would expect to see him probably go and retire after that. And I think we previously talked about it would be great if there was some way we could retain his services, you know, bring him onto the coaching staff or whatnot, because he's a great role model for a lot of the players off the field. And, you know, as you guys say, he's a fantastic left tackle. He's been absolutely great for us, and a really big player on that offensive line. Even when we've had our issues with the offensive line, Big Witt has always been the rock on that line for us. So it's one of those ones, you know, if he does decide to go after Sunday, then hopefully the Rams can kind of keep him on board in some respect. But in terms of, like, you know, chasing rings and whatnot, like, it would be great for him to sign off with one. The likes of, like you're saying, Aaron Donald, for him to cement his legacy. Like I say, a lot of the players, some of the videos I've seen, like guys like Witt, guys like Donald, they're saying that they want to win the ring for those guys. You know, they want Witt to ride off into the sun with a ring on his finger. They want Donald to be able to go into officially go into the conversation as one of the greatest of all time on defence by getting a ring, because a lot of guys are, like, they're saying, if you don't have a ring, then how can you say you're the greatest if you've never won the big one? So it's like guys like Ramsey and whatnot, they're all wanting to win it for them. And I knew another player that we're forgetting, he's obviously not playing on Sunday, that people want to win a ring for is Bobby Trees. You know, like, say, like, Coop has been coming out saying, like we really miss this guy, like, we want to win it for him as well. You know, and I think there was a video of Woods today saying that, like, he's so touched by, like, that the guys are all, like, talking about him, and when, like, they've got to the game whilst he's been injured, whatnot, that they've not forgotten about him. And I think that's where it goes back to. There's the team spirit. They're all, for all these, you know, elite players, superstars and all that, you've got the media saying, oh, well, the Rams will be fractured. You know, I'd before the championship game a couple of weeks ago, I had 49ers fans, one in particular, I was on a show with, you know, trying to highlight as if, like, oh, they're just all egos, they fight with each other and things don't go their way. It's the polar opposite. With all these so-called egos we have in the teams, the reality is these guys are all so down to earth, and they're professionals for, like, how good they are. They're not prima donnas and whatnot, and it's one of those ones, like there's graphics going about claiming, oh, America's rooting for the Bengals and whatnot, and it's one of those ones, I'm kind of said, like, just let people talk and what, like, these guys are just wanting to go out. They're not desperate, I would say, to win it. They're confident that they can go out and win this, and they want that. You know, it's that. I think that's where I see the difference between this year and 3 years ago. Is, even though 3 years ago we were you know, maybe statistically we were stronger and whatnot, and, you know, we should have been the number one seed in the NFC that season, that it came down to obviously a high on Brady, and it's bloody Brady, I guess. Like, you give that guy a chance at anything, he'll beat you, I guess. Whereas this year, these guys have went through so many highs, so many lows, and they've came together, and they've shown that you don't have to be the best, you just have to be the strongest. And, you know, they're mentally strong, they're physically strong, and they're strong, you know, when they go out there and, you know, play, I guess.
Yeah, and moving a bit more into the analysing, looking at the teams and the strengths, etc., one of the things that keeps coming up is the strength of the offensive line and how many times Joe Burrow has been sacked as opposed to Matthew Stafford this season. Mr. Burrows has been sacked 55 times, whereas Mr. Stafford has been sacked 31. So I think if we can get after that line and disruptive players like Aaron Donald and Greg Gaines can get through that that line, I think there's a massive chance for us to be massively disruptive. Andy?
Yeah, exactly. I think if you look back at the beginning of the season, you know, even for the Bengals, you go back as far as their draft, people were questioning why did they take a wide receiver over, you know, a left tackle. They went with Jamar Chase instead of Sewell, and they were like, you know, you need to improve your offensive line. I think it's proved this season they have been still quite a leaky offensive line, which will play right into our hands, I feel, that the likes of Donald, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, on paper, should feast off that offensive line. I can see potentially all four of our linemen getting a sack, potentially even more throughout the game. They're given that chance because of how bad their offensive line is. But again, you know, it comes down to who copes with the atmosphere of the Super Bowl better. I think with the likes of AD and Von Miller having that experience, it may actually be in our benefit that they have that experience. They've been to the big games before and they know what they want. As I say, people are talking, you know, obviously about Big Whip, but we don't know. Potentially, this could be even, you know, someone like Von Miller's last season at his age. Maybe he might go out with a ring, you know, so he'll be wanting to fight for that himself. So, yeah, that's going to be a massive battle. And to be honest, that's the two areas that I think are going to be, it's in the trenches that I think this game is going to be won or lost on for both of us, for both teams.
Yeah, and that's what they always say, that offenses win games, but defenses win championships.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's a perfect thing, to be honest, for our season. Over the last number of games, it has been our defence that's had to sort of step up to help out a lot more. That, I think, is our defence is probably what has got us to the Super Bowl overall, especially over the playoffs.
Yeah. John, do you want to come in there as well?
Yeah, like, totally valid point you guys are saying about, like, Burrows, we could really get to him, we could really could hit him with a lot of sacks. The only thing I would say was it a divisional round? He got sacked 9 times and they still won. So whilst their offensive line may be leaky, my concern would be that Burrows seems to be a kind of quarterback. He can take it and he can still get up on his feet and still deliver. So whilst it would be absolutely great to see him, like, basically putting his back as many times as possible, he's kind of got a precedent there that doesn't affect him. Like other quarterbacks, where if they were sacked 9 times, like, their head would be totally down and out of the game. But that's not to say that like, if you've got Aaron Donald, you know, breathing down your neck on every snap, that it could get to him. It's just the point I'm making is he set a precedent that it doesn't matter how many times he's sacked in a game, he could still go out. And I think that's a testament to how good a quarterback he is, especially for someone that's only in his second season and came back from, you know, like a major injury from last year. So the trenches are like one of the key areas for me. The other key area for me is how the Bengals defense actually sets up against their offense, because there's a lot of talk about them dropping 8, which if that's the case, they can drop it all they want, because, you know, Stafford hasn't been able to essentially throw it as long as he's capable of, due to, you know, kind of some injuries he's been carrying. So that's fine. He'll just throw underneath, or it'll maybe open up a run game. So, I mean, there's a potential that whilst the main battle will be in the trenches, it could be a short passing game from us or a solid run game from us that would actually win it, I think. Because one thing I've seen someone point out, I think it was like ESPN that they were going on about, like, oh, the Rams could struggle against them here on the run based on the last few games. The running offense hasn't been great, but the Bucs and the 49ers have got, you know, a couple of the best run defenses in the league. So it's kind of a bit unfair to kind of say that, you know, on the ground with Akers and Michelle and possibly Henderson, you know, I think he's an outside chance to be back or whatnot, that a running game, you know, could light it up. Because if they're dropping it back, then there's so many gaps, you know, and we can be picking up, you know, first down, first down, first down. Then they've got to then abandon this drop eight, you know, tactic they've got, and then we can start throwing it over the top of them to the likes of Cup, to the likes of Beckham, to the likes of Van Jefferson. But I'm kind of interested to see how many times we can get to Burrows. So,
you're keeping count during the game, then, will you?
Oh, absolutely. I'll get one of those clickers, you know, you know, to keep count for capacity. Get one of them. Click, 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 click. How many did it go up to?
I think 999, I think.
And you've teed that out quite nicely, because Cooper Van Cooper on our Twitter account says we have played the Bucs and the Niners the last 2 weeks, who have two very good run defences. And I think you've answered his question there, saying how do you think we'll use the run against the Bengals? And I think we'd be silly not to dress Henderson and having even sat on the bench, and, you know, Sonny Michel, Cam Akers. I think we've got to show them that we're capable of putting players on the field to cause them problems, and players that are capable of causing them problems on a regular basis. Andy, what do you think of that? I think we discussed it a lot over the weeks, that we have to use the run game just to keep the opposition honest.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we have to use that run game. We have used it pretty well, even against, you know, in the playoffs against the Bucs and 49ers. People were saying there's no point running, you're not going to get through them. But we used it enough to keep them honest and keep them guessing. And as we say, you know, it opens up so much. If they want to drop back eight, that's fine. You know, you start going play action on them, or you play the RPO game on them, and, you know, at the end of the day, they can only run for so long before they get tired out. And if we're just grinding out first down after first down, picking up 10, 15 yards of play, at some point they're going to get tired. So if they want to do that, we use it to our advantage. It is going to be, you know, a game of advantages. The only thing I would say is I'd be more wary about their linebacker core, because personally, I think that they have the perfect linebacker core. And I think whoever our tight end is going to have to be careful, because these guys can not only stop the run if they have to, they can also cover quite well the running backs and the tight ends coming out the backfield. You know, so that's an area that I think we need to be watching out. So if we can get them dropping back, great, run it. If they want to come up and play it, well, then that should hopefully free us up some space to get some deeper balls, maybe to Van Jefferson and Odell as the game goes on.
Yeah. So, I mean, just looking at that then, Andy, tight ends. We're not particularly blessed with depth at the moment. Have we heard anything about Tyler Higbee this week?
The only thing I've heard is that I think it looks like it could potentially just be a game time decision as to whether they dress him or not, as to how it's going. But obviously, you know, Kendall Blanton has come in and played well for us. He can do a job for us, you know, and I suppose at some point we have to start trusting Hopkins to maybe do his job. But I wouldn't be surprised if we maybe see, if we're struggling, they may, because, you know, as much as Skowronek has had his drop issues, he seems to be a good blocking wide receiver. I could potentially see maybe him coming in, or if Noteboom's back, we'll go back to that sort of six personnel game where, you know, we'll maybe put Noteboom in as an extra offensive lineman to help, you know, to basically take that blocking tight end's job. away, like we did a few times throughout the season. So, you know, but I think Higbee at the moment, I think he's going to be a game day decision. But Higbee seems the sort of bloke he'll fight tooth and nail. And even if he's only 50% fit, he'll want to be out there, even if he's, like we said the other week, on a snap count just to participate in it.
Yeah, definitely. John, tight ends. I think I read earlier this week that the Higbee injury wasn't as serious as we first thought. But as Andy says, you know, it's probably going to be a game day decision. And you know, we don't have the depth there. And leading really into the question from Paul Milligan on Facebook, can Stafford be accurate enough to pick apart the Bengals when they drop 8 into coverage? And I know we've sort of covered this a couple of times in the round, but if that's going to be our game plan, can Stafford be accurate enough?
Yeah, absolutely. If they're dropping 8, put it this way, it's going to stop the Hollywood pass attempts, isn't it? Because if they're dropping back, then opens up. You know, fair enough, you've got the linebacker core, which is stronger than our linebacker core, but it opens up shorter pass options for Stafford. And it's one of those ones, like a lot of the kind of key passes he's made from more recent weeks. I know he's made some big, you know, like gains, you know, like, you know, a couple of 40-yard passes or whatnot. It might be better for his confidence if he's making a lot of completions at, you know, the 10 to 20 mark, whatnot, because it's one of those ones. It's probably better for him as well because of, you know, his proneness to throw, you know, a wobbly pass or whatever. It's one of those ones, hopefully, fingers crossed, that the enormity of the game isn't going to get to him in terms of that, because we're talking about a guy who's went from never winning a playoff game to, you know, being one game away from holding the Lombardi. But I've got full trust in him that it won't get to him. I think that, yeah, they could, like I said, I've said previously, can drop 8 all they want. It opens up more options for him. It maybe brings him back, and it maybe eliminates that risk of him going long or whatever, you know, when he doesn't have to, because he's then forced to look shorter. Because on some of those Hollywood pass attempts, I think every single time every time that it comes up, if it's been a missed pass, a drop pass, or an interception, usually someone points out, but Van Jefferson was wide open, like 15 yards in front of you. Such and such was wide open. You know, so it's one of those ones, it might get him looking a bit more and thinking he might have a bit more time on his hands to just make better decisions at shorter passes and just, you know, work our way up the field rather than looking, right, there's Cup, boom, launch it.
Yeah, and just get the momentum of keeping the drive going on a regular basis. Because that's 7, 8, 12 yards. So, go in there, Andy.
Yeah, I suppose as well, this is where it opens up for Akers as well, because, you know, he's a good catcher out the backfield. You know, he can come out the backfield and catch it. So, you know, you use someone like Akers, you know, okay, well, you know, we'll do the 5-yard pass screen to you, and then you can go and get the yards after a catch. And let's be honest, we've seen quite a few times Cup coming out the backfield, playing that sort of wide receiver hat running back role of coming out the backfield, catching those bubble screens, then getting the yards. So, you know, that we have ways quite clearly in our book that if they want to do that, we can just feast on that all day and grind them down to the point that they basically can't keep doing it because we've ground them down and they're knackered.
Yeah, so that game plan for drop 8 into coverage, you know, that could play really into our hands, as I think what the way we're going with this conversation.
Yeah.
It gives the opportunity for Matthew Stafford to make those shorter passes, make those 7, 8, 12 yards every single time. And, you know, there's going to come a point where the Bengals are going to have to go, this isn't working, we're going to have to do something different, which opens them up potentially to those deep Odell Beckham Jr. and Van Jefferson passes. And, you know, even Cooper Kupp with the sensible runs, the intelligent runs, and give Mr. Stafford the time to make those deep balls. Right. That sounds all good to me so far, but the thing that worries me is that, it's the Bengals do seem to be quite a balanced side. You know, they have Joe Mixon, who's 1,205 yards, they've got rushing yards, They've got Jamar Chase on 1455 yards, receiving yards. And then they don't have much rushing behind Mixon. They've got Pellin on 246 and then Joe Burrow on 118 rushing yards. But even behind Jamar Chase, they've got T. Higgins on 1,091 yards and Tyler Boyd on 828. So as much as I've just said, they're quite a balanced side. They've got more on that receiving side, that passing side, than potentially we give them credit for, I give them credit for anyway. But it doesn't feel as though they're lopsided, John, does it?
No, it doesn't. And from my point of view, I think what our kind of defensive focus has to be is to essentially shut down the receivers, because I think we've seen, you know, over the last, you know, not even just the postseason so far, but, you know, as towards the tail end of the regular season, the defensive line and, you know, on occasions the linebacker, you know, the secondary or whatnot, the run defense from us has improved quite a bit. And it's one of the ones, I think, if we can force them to go on the ground, you know, with regards to like the 49ers, who have been a team that have been able to, you know, essentially rip holes on us on the ground, whereas the last two times we played them at SoFi, we showed that we could really just, like, you know, essentially build a wall and stop them. I think if we can get the Bengals to stay on the ground, we can really shut their offense down. There's talk at, like, that Ramsey basically came out and said he wants Chase. I want to be one-on-one with him the whole game.
You led us into the Facebook question there from Paul Milligan, actually, saying that, do you think Ramsey will travel with Chase? But, sorry, do carry on. I just want to reference that question.
Yeah, no, I think it's whether or not they actually do it or not, Ramsey's certainly calling out, I want him. I want him for the 60 minutes. Every time he's on the field, I'm covering him. So it's, you know, it's one of those ones that Ramsey's looking at for probably two points through. Chase is he's a very good wide receiver. He is probably, in my opinion, their biggest threat on offense. So if you put your best, you know, cornerback on him, as Ramsey's done in the past, shutting some of the best down in the league, you know, he'll hopefully be able to do the same with Chase. Because if Ramsey can essentially keep Chase to minimum yards and do nothing with the ball and go nowhere with the ball, then we can try and then start forcing, like I said, to go with the run. And our defensive line has really shown, with, like, say, Gaines on there is in particular, but alongside Donald, that we can really shut down, you know, the run game.
Yeah. Do you want to come in there, Andy?
Yeah, I think the initial plan will be Ramsey on Chase, try and lock him down. But if it gets to the point where somebody, you know, they have got three very good wide receivers, you know, in Chase, Boyd and Higgins. If it looks like one of them starting to take over the game, we may have to start swapping them around, moving them around a little bit, just to keep the Bengals offense guessing a little bit. You know, I think having him as much as we all complain about him moving around and, you know, we'd rather he locked down the number one, sometimes having him in that position to move around, pick other players up when we need to, it will be good, just to keep their offense honest. And he can't also write out, I don't know whether he's playing or not, but if their tight end, Uzomah, is playing, he's been a fairly good tight end for him as well. So he's a threat as well for them. I think people look at those three, but they realize there are others on that team as well who can potentially hurt us if we don't watch them, I think. But it's going to be an interesting battle for which corner is going to pick up who. Are we going to maybe play, just let Ramsey deal with him and then we'll double up on the other two receivers? Or will it be a case of, you know, float him around and maybe sometimes use maybe Darius Williams and a safety to double team Chase out, try and double team him out of the game to allow Ramsey to have that float ability to keep them guessing what he's going to be doing? So it's going to be a little interesting battle as to how we're going to deal with it. But if we don't keep Jamar Chase quiet, I do think he can take over the game for us. The connection with him and Burrow has, you know, for a rookie, is basically, I'd say, only second to the connection that Stafford and Kupp have had this season myself.
Yeah, and moving on to a question from Daniel Flint on Twitter. What are the three? I want to change this question a little bit. Actually, sorry, Daniel. What are the three areas where the Rams will win or lose the game? And what I really want to do, Andy, first is, you know, which three Rams players need to have good games for the Rams to win?
Obviously, I think the first one you're going to have to say is Stafford. If he's goes with the, you know, few interceptions sort of game, you know, I think that could, you know, potentially cost us the game. So I think obviously your quarterback has got to play well. That's a given. If he plays well, it makes things go a lot easier. To be honest, I'd probably say Ramsey to lock down would have to be an important player. You know, if he can keep, as I say, Jamar Chase quiet, it makes things just a little bit easier for us. And to be honest, I'd say the other one is probably going to be Eric Weddle for me, because he's potentially, I believe he's going to be carrying the green dot this week.
So
you need him to be on point, getting those play calls out quickly. And not only that, using his experience to analyze. So if they get the play call through, you know, and it looks like, hang on, no, that they're going into a different thing, or they're moving to quickly make those adjustments to help the secondary and the defense to stop them as quickly as they can. So, you know, I think a lot of people, whoever carrying the green dot, especially on defense, once the calls come in, if it changes all of a sudden, because I think they've got 15, they only get 15 seconds like the offense, he's got to make those changes and quickly. And I think that is an important thing for us, because they, the Bengals can move things around. They do, like, a little bit like we do, a lot of, you know, movement up front to get to try and trick out defenses. So they'll give you a look, and then all of a sudden it'll quickly change. And that's where I think somebody, I think maybe that's why they're giving it to Weddle, is because he can quickly analyze it. And with his, you know, he's a very intelligent player, he always has been, is to quickly dissect it and go, oh, right, that's not going to work. Right, quickly, you go there, this is what we're going to do, we're going to change it slightly. So I think that is an important battle for me as well.
Great stuff. John, can you follow that?
I think Andy essentially covered up just like perfectly, especially on the defensive side of it with Weddle. I think, you know, that's like Andy's saying, that's why he's got the green dot this week, because of his intelligence to read and react to what he sees on the offense is going to be absolute key for us. The only other player, kind of semi-serious when I say him, right, in terms of like areas for the Rams to win the game, see if Troy Reader has the game of his life, we'll win this game. Because there's been times where he's been absolute poor with his tackling. So if he goes out and he plays incredible and is hitting tackles, no one's getting by him, we'll win this game by a mile. But yeah, that's semi-serious, that kind of answer. But semi-serious from the point of view of, like, he needs to be better, especially with his tackling, because, you know, getting dragged for nearly 10 yards against the 49ers is unacceptable. But like I'd said, their linebacker core is better than ours. The Burrow could throw a lot of passes away, you know, because Williams and Reader got targeted heavily by Garoppolo, and it kind of it obviously didn't cost us the game, but it became a worry throughout the game. So it's one of those ones, Reader has got to go out there and play the game of his life, I think. So that's one kind of other area, not a key area, but one other area to highlight.
Interesting. I was reminded of a statistic or a happening from the last Super Bowl trip, actually, as in so much as that Sony Michel was the only player that scored a touchdown in that game, and now he's playing for us in another Super Bowl. And I think that experience from Sony Michel of actually, you know, played in the other Rams Super Bowl of the last 4 years and being on the winning side of that, you know, he's got good experience and he's been a good option for us this season, as much as we've missed Cam Akers, obviously. But I think he is could be an important key to the game as well. I think, like Andy said, you know, if Matthew Stafford carries on the momentum that he's built up over the last three playoff games, he's got the potential to win the game. Not by himself, obviously, but, you know, he's got the potential to win the game, hands down. So that's interesting. Anything else that you guys want to cover, Andy first?
The only thing I would say is don't write off their defense either. They've got players such as, you know, like I say, you know, Sam Hubbard, DJ, you know, unfortunately their reader plays a lot better than our reader, but, you know, that's a different story for another day. You know, they've brought in Trey Hendrickson. They've got backfield. They've got Von Bell, Jesse Bates. You know, for me, Jesse Bates, I think, is probably one of the most underrated safeties in the NFL. I feel he should be getting a lot more love than the likes of, you know, Buda Baker and what have you gets. Their secondary is no slouch either. People seem to be, it's all about the offense for the Bengals. No, just be careful because their defense is quite dangerous after they've proven throughout this season. That's why I say I think the trenches on both sides, our offensive line versus their defense and vice versa, are, I think that is going to be where the key battle of, and where this game potentially will literally be won or lost, is which one can, which offensive line can hold up the best against the defensive lines, because on both teams they're probably low-key the two best in the league at the moment.
That's very level-headed of you, very level-headed indeed. John, anything else to add?
Yeah, I think what another key area we've, you know, kind of overlooked is the place kickers. They've got Evan McPherson, who's been quite a solid kicker, to the point that they call him Money Mac, you know, and he's obviously going up against our Money Matt. it's one of those ones. He's a great kicker, but one thing he's, you know, over the last few games, this came out is the boy's got a bit of a kind of ego and he's quite cocky with it. There's been a lot of I'm going to go kick the game or book the tickets to LA, coach, we're going to the Super Bowl, before he goes on to make like a kick, you know. So it's like one of those ones, like, I'm hoping he misses, you know, sort of an easy kick, let's just say that.
Just looking at his stats there, John, actually, he's actually missed three in the 40 to 49 range and he's missed 2 of 11 at 50 plus. So he's not infallible.
Yeah.
I think he carries this little bit of a chip on his shoulder, though, because I think they drafted him in the fifth round. And, you know, a lot of people were saying you don't draft kickers and, you know, in the fifth round, or don't draft kickers at all. So, you know, the people were mocking the team and him. And I think he, because of how well he has done and how clutch he's been, I think that has put a little bit of a chip on his shoulder as well. People were basically writing, you know, don't draft a kicker. You know, it's pointless these days, especially in the fifth round. You could have brought in somebody else. That may have just put that little bit of a chip on his shoulder as well.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, like, to highlight the kickers being another key area is, you know, maybe more so from our perspective, the last few games have been won with a kick.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those ones with, you know, as I said earlier on, my perspective is that both sides are quite balanced in terms of what they both bring. They're both, you know, as good as each other, probably on paper. There's a good chance this is going to come down to, you know, what one of the kickers is actually better than the other. There's a good chance it could come down to something like that. You know, and you know, as I said, like the last couple of games for us, you know, we've had to rely on, no, well, I suppose in the Bucs game we had to rely on Matt Gay winning it to us. In terms against the 49ers, it wasn't a case of relying on winning it, as we put ourselves in a position to win the game, whereas against the Bucs it was to make sure we didn't lose the game. But like I said, my kind of opinion on McPherson is, whilst he seems like a decent kicker, the boy's got a bit of an attitude that he kind of thinks he's better than he actually is, and so I'm kind of hopeful he's going to miss something, you know, that no one else would miss. But in terms of like our own kicker, Matt Gay, like, I know he's been a bit more, not really wobbly, I guess. He's missed a couple of, you know, kicks more recently and whatnot, compared to during the course of the season when I think he only missed, you know, maybe like 2 or 3 or something like that, just to say. I think he's the more level-headed out of the two of them. And I think if it was to come down to, you know, a situation where Gay could win us the game with a kick, I think he's got the mentality to do it, whereas hopefully with the pressure of the game on it, you know, it could get to McPherson.
Right. Good stuff. Good stuff indeed. So, crunch time. John first. Do you want to give us a score, but at least give us a result if you don't?
I'll give you the score because, like I said, I'm annoyed at myself because I correctly said we'd win 20-17 with Gay kicking the winning field goal against the 49ers. So I'm going to say 24-21 Rams, Gay kicking again. I think it's going to be quite close, to tell you the truth.
Oh, that'll be heart-stopping stuff, depending on which way the score lines go. But excellent. Thanks for that, John. Andy, are you up for giving a score?
Yeah, I'm going 27-24 to us with Gay kicking a winning field goal for us. That's actually my bet as well. I've put a tenner on it. So
I'm not sure you're supposed to tell people what your bet is, but that's very brave of you. I hope you haven't put too much on that, but I hope it comes in for you.
Yeah, I've only put £10 on just for a thing. I always do every Super Bowl. It's the only one I ever sort of do.
Keep it interesting.
But I do think, again, as you said, it's going to be a close game, and I do see it coming down to, you know, kickers potentially, you know, winning us the game again. My money, as I say, is on Matt Gay to do the job for us.
Excellent. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to completely sit on the fence here. I'm not going to give a score, but I am optimistic and hopeful of a Rams win. I don't want to try and jinx it with anything like that, but I think we have every potential to win this game, and I really hope we do it for as much for the players as for the fans in LA, and to put down that sort of Hollywood gloss that the media seem to put on us as well. So just a couple of things to wrap up on. We had a competition on the Twitter account earlier this week, over last weekend. We have picked a winner for the new Los Angeles Rams UK cap. It will be going out in the post as soon as we can arrange it. You will not receive it in time for the Super Bowl, unfortunately. But Jason Conger, at Jason Conger, who is one of our German brethren, came up as the winner for retweeting and commenting on our Twitter post. So well done, Jason. I assume that is your correct name. If you want to DM the page, we will get that sorted out for you and sent out to you as soon as possible. So that hopefully that's something we're going to rotate between Instagram, Twitter and Facebook every month in the coming future. So there will be items of LA Rams UK merchandise up for grabs on a regular basis. The other thing that I really wanted to mention is that fairly obviously we've had quite a lot of media interest coming into LA Rams UK this week. So expect articles and interviews with the Metro, Reach, who own the Mirror, do an NFL newsletter. So there should be an article in there coming out this week. Radio 5 Live and Colin Murray this evening will have a piece from Los Angeles Rams UK. Radio Surrey on Friday morning will have a piece from one of our brethren. And we've just had a request from BBC Radio London as well. So we're doing our best to find people to fit all of the criteria requested, whether they be local or just a general fan that's been across the games and stuff. So we're trying to cover as many of these as possible. And you may have seen some of us reaching out on social media to try and find people in the right geographic areas. So it's been quite a week fielding a lot of these inquiries. So thank you to John for joining us this evening. Have a great weekend. Let's hope beyond hopes that we get that win on Sunday evening, Monday morning, and we all wake up at some point on Monday with a big grin on our faces. John, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Tony, and, you know, horns up, let's go out and win this.
Excellent. Andy, thank you very much for your time, both this evening and during the season. Sorry, I just should have said that for John as well. And hopefully we'll all be back together again next week with big smiley faces. Thank you, Andy.
Yep, again, thanks for having me on, Tony. It's been real enjoyable. And, yep, let's hope next week, whenever we all wake up, Monday, probably with a few sore heads, that we're all very happy.
And thank you to everybody out there who continues to listen to this podcast. Horns up and let's get that Super Bowl win on Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more, make sure you follow the guys on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Los Angeles Rams UK, or head to larams.uk for articles and merch.